you.
You were worth waiting.
I'd like to call this meeting of the Board of Education back to order at 7:03 p.m. We've returned from closed session where we discussed expulsion of five students or readmittance of two students, as well as amendment to superintendent's contract. Let's start with an invocation. Is there anyone here who wishes to offer an invocation? Okay. Mrs. Eileen Miranda-Gimenez will, and then we'll have a flag salute led by Mr. Cox.
Okay. I'm going to do it a little different. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and read a quote from Albert Einstein about service and about existence and about leadership and service to others. So Albert Einstein reflected on the purpose of man's existence when he said, "Strange is our situation here upon earth. Each of us comes for a short visit, not knowing why, yet sometimes seeming to divine purpose. From the standpoint of daily life, however, there is one thing we do know, that we are here for the sake of others, for the countless unknown souls with whose fate we are connected by a bond of sympathy. Many times a day, I realize how much my own outer and inner life is built upon the labors of people, both living and dead, and how earnestly I must exert myself in order to give in return as much as I have received." Thank you.
Mr. Cox,
please join me in the pledge. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here.
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 Okay, we're on item number five. We do have some actions to report out of closed session. First, it was moved by Mrs. Polis and seconded by Mr. Cox to lift the expulsion of student 135291 and 170925 and to enroll them at West Covina High School. And then it was moved by Mrs. Polis and seconded by Mr. Cox to expel pupil 195079 for possession and sale of controlled substance. Student 193413 for possession and sale of a controlled substance. ID number student 155380 for caused damage to school property. Student number 196596 for possession and negotiating to sell a controlled substance. And student 183372 for possession of controlled substance. And that was moved by Mrs. Polis and seconded by Mr. Cox, and the vote was 5-0. Okay, we're on presentations. We have several schools that are to be honored by, or were honored by, the California Business for Education Excellence Honor Roll. Ms. Casillo?
Okay. I believe we have representatives from Merced Elementary, Orangewood Elementary, San Jose. Would you please come forward? Now, these are schools that were recognized for consistent student achievement improvement, as well as their ability to close the achievement gap. And I join with the association that is honoring them. They will be published from the California Business of Educational Excellence on their honor roll, on their honor school list. So we hope that you will also include West Covina High School. Mr. Gautreaux. I didn't forget you. These schools that are here, I think, are exemplary schools in terms of their hard work, in especially the part about closing the achievement gap. And the board is here to honor them today. And I think, Vice President Mr. Cox, would you please come forward and hand out the certificates?
Sure.
Your president elected you.
Yes. I thought you'd be the best to do them.
You'll each receive a banner as well to hang proudly at your school. Smart, Denise.
Oh, that's where they belong.
Yes, what is on display?
Thank you. That's what it looks like. Good job.
Okay, round of applause, please.
Thank you very much. And
excuse me, is there anybody with a camera that could take a quick picture?
Grace?
Okay, principals, just stand right up here, please. And somebody hold one of the banners.
No, she did.
Hold it for...
I'd be glad to. I'm going to put these tags in your pocket. Maybe because I'm sure it's...
Oh, that's...
Just hold it out in front of you.
Yeah, that's
what
it is. Did you want to get a photo? No.
Could you please... Congratulations to the faculty as well of
yes.
each of these schools. It should be on our website by tonight.
Do you hear that, Ruben? Yeah, thank you very much, and appreciate your efforts on behalf of kids. I'm glad they're being recognized by the California Business for Education Excellence. Next up, we have a presentation from California School on Professional Development.
Principal Cheryl Lessiker.
Good evening, Superintendent, President Spence, and board members. And I want to thank the teachers of California School for their dedication and their hard work to our students every day, and thank you for coming tonight. Okay, at California School, we foster the success for our students to become lifelong learners by becoming self-directed, productive problem solvers, and thinkers. This slide reflects our API. Okay, over the past 4 years, we have worked diligently and methodically to improve our API after having dropped the previous year. Our Hispanic, socioeconomically disadvantaged, and as of 2009, adding English learners to our significant subgroups. We increased our school API by 23 points and our Hispanic population by 22 points. Our SED, or socioeconomically disadvantaged population, dropped by 4 points. As of 2009, when the number of students in a significant subgroup changed from 100 to 50, our EL population then became a significant subgroup. And as you can see, currently our English learners are outperforming the district English learners by 74 points. California School had the greatest number of students achieve proficiency or above in ELA. School-wide, our proficiency...
You're swiping your finger too fast.
Somebody, something's... You're about to...
Back one, to ELA.
Keep going.
There we go. Thank you. Okay, school-wide, our proficiency rate is 10% higher than the federal expectation for 2009 and 5.9% higher in our Hispanic population. Our SED and EL populations fell just short of the 46% expectation. Though our percent of students with disabilities, AYP, increased, this continues to be a focus for our student improvement. Again, California School had the greatest number of students in the district score proficient or above in math. School-wide, as well as our Hispanic, SED, and EL populations, they're performing well above the 2009 and 2010 federal requirements. Our students with disabilities are only 2% below the federal requirement of 47.5%. Our school goals are closely aligned to the district goals. We regularly examine weekly tests, quarterly benchmarks, STAR early literacy, and scholastic reading inventories to inform our instruction. The new district-wide assessments implemented this year have given us clear diagnostic information to better meet the needs of our students. We are focused on teaching strategies that are standards-based and promote student engagement and academic rigor. You should see, on Wednesday's grade level collaboration provides teachers the opportunity to plan lesson designs and differentiation for our new programs, Step Up to Writing, Envision Math, and Reading 180 and System 44, which are all monitored for integrity and student progress. We are of the philosophy that one size does not fit all. We have an ongoing staff development and monitor and practice in student engagement and differentiation. We have in place numerous strategies to increase student achievement. Students need to be in their chair every day, ready to learn to improve their own learning, so attendance incentives are given. Now that they're in their chair, discipline comes before instruction, so we have a school-wide positive behavior plan, and it is our belief that every teacher has 395 kids, so we all share the responsibility. And I've said we also have data analysis to drive and differentiate our instruction. To support students' instruction, we have focused staff development and grade-level collaboration. And as a result, we currently have 17 out of 20 teachers providing before or after-school intervention in ELA and math, as well as writing support for our English learners. Students are enjoying visiting our new computer lab on a weekly basis. They are able to take instructional assessments, use instructional programs such as Accelerator Reader, Orchard, Success Maker, and Waterford. Parent involvement includes the classroom or school activity volunteers, PTA, ELAC, site council, parent workshops. We are in the progress of offering technology math nights to all our parents to aid them with the support of the new math program. They're learning how to access the daily lessons from home and provide support for their child. Parents are very excited about the fact that they can do this from home, and we've allowed access to school computers for the parents that don't have one. We have an extensive professional development plan to increase student achievement for all our students. Our teachers continually review state standards and align their instruction. Deepening the knowledge and instruction of our newly identified essential standards is an always ongoing discussion. Ongoing staff development in curricula is critical to our student achievement. This year, the new writing program and math program are our focus to ensure that students are demonstrating understanding, and if not, how can we support their learning? At California School, we are of the mind that all children can succeed. Close monitoring and analysis of all subgroups addresses the learning of every child on our campus. Teachers have a toolbox of instructional strategies. The professional development and grade level articulation allows the teachers to share their best practices of what works, to continually to add to this toolbox to provide more effective instruction. Even though it may not be a statistically significant subgroup for California School, we're still very focused on our students with disabilities. The district is supporting us in the implementation of READ 180 and System 44. The collaboration between the classroom teacher and RSP teacher determine effective ways to support the student within the classroom and to best meet the RSP student's IEP goals. RSP aides provide support within the classroom for an inclusive educational approach. SDC and RSP students are mainstreamed for general education activities whenever possible. And we currently have two SDC students mainstreamed for third grade math. And to further serve our students, we have developed a more thorough process for reviewing our regular education students' progress and support through our student intervention team. This allows a team of professionals to meet with the parent to discuss all options before we refer the child for RSP. Professional development started immediately in August. We examined in great detail the school-wide CST data. Teachers then analyzed their own grade level and individual classroom data, reflecting on their strong areas and areas of improvement. After thoughtful reflection, they then examined the data for their own classroom for the year to set up student learning goals. Further support with the new writing program enables teachers to continue the effective implementation of Step Up to Writing. Partnered with our SRA labs, the reading comprehension is an area of improvement across all grade levels. Teachers were given direction on how to effectively use the SRA reading labs to foster reading comprehension and differentiate for the varying reading levels in the classroom. Standards Plus is taught every day in ELA and math. Teachers learned that the critical piece of how to effectively use the assessment data to inform their further teaching. Our ISS trained the teachers in how to use School City, our new data program, in accessing CST data to identify and prioritize our instructional needs and target intervention. During November and December, the district supported our students with several new instructional programs, so our Director of Elementary Education, Tandy Taylor, in-service teachers on these programs and how they affect students and their achievement. My teachers that serve as our EL coordinators in-service the teachers in the revised monitoring tool to better track our students. We currently are redesignating 18 students, mostly second grade, and only have 3 students that have been in the program for 5 years, but they have not been redesignated. It is not due to language. Okay, a refresher in the explicit direction instruction using TAPL provided teachers ways to check for understanding while teaching. And then in the last, the technology piece for our new science program is another way we're integrating technology into instruction. In January through March, this quarter, the professional development will focus on Marzano's research-based strategies, where we've been working on non-linguistic representation as a school. Our teachers involved in the Teachscape and lesson study selected cooperative learning and summary and note-taking as an additional focus. Again, we used School City to analyze our benchmark data to inform our instruction. As a precursor to our math night, for our parents, we taught the parent instructional technology skills needed to support the parents to the teachers. We're also in the process of learning about the CWT, or the classroom walkthrough and look-fors. And the look-fors include 5 areas: curriculum, instruction, the learning, the classroom environment, and the needs of all students. And as part of the professional development, we will continue with Tomlinson strategies for differentiating instruction, and the teachers will further their understanding and improve instruction by allowing for students' interests, learning profile, their readiness, and as well as varying the content, the product, and the process for their learning. This supports what the teachers have been learning and practicing in the lesson study with Teachscape. Staff development for the last quarter will re-examine school data, continue our understanding and practice of lesson study and classroom walkthroughs, and we're ending the year with an evaluation of our homework practices using Marzano's strategy as a guideline in preparation for next year. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share the wonderful things and the hard work going on at California School and your ongoing support.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your efforts on behalf of the kids at California School. And I think some board members have some questions. Cammie?
The special education, I know you said they weren't a significant subgroup, although when you look at their progress, there's not as much progress as your other students. And do you feel that the implementation of the new programs that we'll see more of an increase for your special education students?
I do. With READ 180 and with both that and Systems 44, I do. And our focus is also our SDC class and working collaboratively with our RSP teacher and making sure that the needs are met for those students in that class as well. And that class last year had a substitute most of the year. I have great expectations with a teacher in the classroom knows what exactly he's doing, that we will do well by those kids.
You talked about parents being able to utilize the school computers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain a little bit more how that works, and do they have to come to the school, and when do they have access?
They have access during the day. They can come and they can use the computers in the library or they can use the computers in the lab. We have a new lab that now has 24 computers in it. All they have to do is check in with me. We have a couple that have said they don't have a computer at home, so we're happy to walk them through that parent piece, okay, so that they can help their kids at home.
Are they, if it, for parents that work, can they access it before school or in the evening?
They could. They just need to let me know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's available for them all.
And so they're aware of that?
They will be after our math technology nights.
Okay. In another district, they were doing some comprehensive parent nights on actually what's on the state and federal testing. Do you, when on your parent nights, do you also go over that, what's on there, and make sure the parents understand the concepts so when they're doing the homework that they can pass those concepts on to their children?
We do. That doesn't happen to be a nighttime workshop. It's one of our daytime workshops. And that workshop that we provide for parents generally has an attendance of somewhere between 30 and 40. And we go over the state testing, how they can help prepare their students. We go over what types of questions are on it. We walk them through how they can access the help off of the website. And the bulk of our parents will attend our daytime workshops.
Okay. And that seems to be better for the parents in your
absolutely
area.
Absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There was one other question. What do you, you're differentiating, and you've mentioned that several times for the students. How are you differentiating for your gifted students?
Well, as far as, it's the same way, whether it be the gifted students or whether it be our low-end students. Currently, we are offering a science class after school for our gifted and talented students. For a couple of reasons. That's a strong interest for those kids. And our science scores do need improvement. So we're offering a science class for the GATE kids in fifth grade to okay. also help bring up our achievement scores there. And within the classroom, the content is differentiated throughout the day. Okay, let me give you just a real simple example of what might happen. In a math lesson, if we were going to find out who's got the concept or not, let's say we're going to do three-digit multiplication by three-digit. If I've got kids in the classroom that already know how to do that, I'm going to do a quick assessment on a whiteboard before I start. Let me see who knows it, who doesn't. While I'm teaching the rest of the class, I'm going to take those kids. They're going to go off, and they're perhaps going to do an extension of that multiplication. They might create word problems for that extension. They could do a writing exercise that has to do with that. So I'm going to first do a quick assessment so that they're not having to sit through a lesson they already know how to do, so that I can extend them right away, go back and reteach. Go back, teach, and reteach as I need to.
Great. And I know that I said that was my last question, but there is one more.
Okay.
The special education students, you were talking about tutoring before after school. Do the special education students have access to that same tutoring?
Not at this time. Our special education students are not in after school tutoring. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Thank you for your presentation. That was excellent.
You're welcome.
I had a question about the attendance incentives. This is the first time that I'm seeing that a school is making a real concerted effort and they've presented it. So how has it worked and has it improved the attendance for you in your school?
Generally, California does very well. This year, we've had a real difficult time with the flu. But let me tell you what the incentives are. On Friday, the class that has 20 students, they cannot have any more than 3 absences in the class for the week. A class of 32 cannot have any more than 5. If they earn that, then the class gets free dress on Monday. As well as we look at it monthly, and the children with perfect attendance then come into the cafeteria for a reward. They may be given a free book. They may be given a popcorn party. They might be given an award, a snow cone, thank you. I'd forgotten. We've offered something different every time.
Right, keep the variety.
So the incentives are ongoing.
Okay. The other thing is we're at the halfway point in the school year, and so how your assessments thus far are showing what progress, your benchmark, your assessments on all of your goals for student achievement and teacher professional development.
Okay. The professional development will continue, as I explained mm-hmm. in the slides. We're looking at our student achievement at this point in time. We're making very good progress. I will say that we have one area of need, and that would be our second grade math. We need to look seriously at working on making sure that the kids are understanding the new math program. Third grade is very strong. Fourth grade is doing well. We also have to look at our fifth grade science and continue focusing on that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I strongly applaud. Thank you for the parent involvement. I see that that was one of your goals, and providing the computers as well as doing your math training. That's excellent. As well as I also applaud the big jump in scores. That took a
Thank
lot of
you.
Work. That was very well done.
I had a quick question. You mentioned that there were three students who had been there 5 years that hadn't been transitioned from ELL, from language learners.
Correct.
And that was not due to language?
No.
So
we're currently assessing them.
So what other criteria do we use other than language to assess whether or not someone's an English language learner?
Well, there's several criteria. We look at their classroom performance. We look at their SELP test. These three particular children were in the process of assessing for learning disabilities.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense then. Okay. Okay. So can they transition then into out of English language learners, but they would then be in a special education?
Well, they still have to pass the SELP test.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they'll still be identified as an English learner. It'll take a little longer for them to redesignate.
Okay, so if someone's designated, well, it's not for language, it's because of their performance in the classroom and the test, though. So that I guess that's where I'm kind of confused, is why when we try to transition them into a regular classroom environment if they're capable of doing that?
Well, they're already in a regular classroom environment.
Yeah.
Yes,
but the assistance you need is not language related.
No, it's in relation to their learning disability.
Right. Okay, but they'd still be classified. They'd be classified in both categories,
yes.
Then. Okay. Great. Thank you. Any other questions? Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, and appreciate all of you from California. We also have. We're blessed to have two presentations tonight. Cameron School, as well. There you are.
Well, good evening, Board of Education, Mr. Spence, our president, and board members, and our student representative. Good evening, Madam Superintendent, Mrs. Castillo, and cabinet members. Good evening, everyone in the audience, especially the Cameron teachers that are in the back row right here. Thank you so much for coming. Good evening, colleagues and family and friends of Cameron and West Covina Unified. It's an honor to be here, to be present, and to be able to speak to the condition of Cameron this evening. First slide. Whoops.
Second.
Never mind. Yes, Steve, it's not that.
Here we go. Okay, our slogan, where ideas become realities. I think it has helped in the attitude change that's taken place in Cameron, and it will be reflected in the data. I think it's reflected in the spirit of the community and everything that we're doing on a daily basis at Cameron. Our mission statement is simple. We are dedicated to the intellectual, social, and emotional development of a child, helping them to reach their greatest potential. Taking a look at the data. Okay, we had a pretty good year last year. Cameron School had the highest overall gain in an API. We broke the 800 barrier. We're at 806, which represented a 37-point gain. As you look at our Hispanic population, which is 69% of our student population, overall API, 802, also broke the 800 barrier. Something I want to point out, and I feel very, very strongly about this. 800 is not our goal, folks. 800 is what is minimally acceptable. What our goal is to reach the highest potential of every single child, and whether that is 850 or 866 or 867, 900, whatever it happens to be, that's what we're shooting for at Cameron. And although it's great that we're sitting at 806 right now, it has created a sense of urgency in us to make sure that we go forward. 37 points this year. And I shaved my head on August 24th at 9 o'clock. I didn't think I was going to be honest with you. But I made a promise to the kids at my school that if we hit 800, I'd shave my head. So I don't know what I'm going to do next year. I don't want to shave my head. It wasn't a good look. But you know what? If that's what it's going to take, then that's exactly what I'll do. So we are very, very hopeful that we're on the way up, and the trends look like we are when you look at the data. However, there are still three subgroups that haven't made that 800 bar, and you look at socioeconomically disadvantaged kids, you look at our English language learners, and you look at our students with disabilities sitting at 748. But a note about our students with disabilities. Last year, they had a 108-point gain in their API. So kudos to my special ed teachers, RSP teachers, and my general ed teachers, and to our special education department at the district. We looked at things very, very differently last year. We are incorporating new strategies, and you know we have new programs this year, READ 180, System 44, and a whole new way of looking things as we try to include our special ed kids in the general education classroom, transition them and give them the support in the classroom that they need. Looking at the AMAOs, I'm worried. The goal for AMAO percentage of proficient and above for next year, 2010, well, in June, is in language arts it's 56.8%, in math it's 58%. In math we're looking pretty good, and in language arts we got problems. We have to, and we have been, analyzing what we've done, what we did last year that worked, what we needed to do this year to augment, learning. And to try to do what's necessary to bring our kids up overall, school-wide, Hispanic, SED, EL, SWD, all of the groups of kids that we have, 56.8 is going to be a very, very difficult barrier for us to reach. Doesn't mean we're not going to try, and we're not going to try earnestly, but we have a lot of work to do. The math data reflect that we're doing a pretty good job, and that's district-wide. Everybody is doing a pretty decent job in mathematics, and so are we at Cameron. School-wide goals. Next slide, please. One of the things we did last year with the assistance of the district and Tandy in elementary ed and our assistant Soup and actually everybody from the district office who came to Cameron, so frequently that I was setting them up at their own office in our parent resource center so they wouldn't have to travel as much. But we stressed a few things, and we got together with our staff, the faculty, and we talked about the academic rigor that we need to see in every classroom. We started that last year. We were examining all of our procedures. We were examining the alignment between standards and instruction, examining the type of work product that we were requiring of our students, making sure that it was aligned very tightly to state standards. The concepts and learning objectives were appropriate at that particular grade level, and we went from there. We were successful. I think we still are successful. We still have a lot of work to do. We're looking for a deeper understanding of the curricula with our teachers and as conveyed to the students, and we are looking to more efficiently utilize all the software that we had. We have probably the finest computer lab in the district. We have 40 computers, and although they're getting a little bit old, and I'm replacing a lot of them with the ERA Title I funds that we've recently received, we use computers all day long. Our computer lab is operating from 8:05 until approximately 2 o'clock. GG, K through 5 for mathematics. Orchard, K through 5, language arts and mathematics. Waterford, K through 2, reading program. Accelerated Reader is our school-wide reading program. We have before and after school interventions. Last year we started them in the middle of November. This year we started them in the middle of October. We had a fifth grade unit come to me and said, our kids need more help with standards instruction. They voluntarily have had a cohort of about 20 kids that they're meeting with two, three times a week to work on nothing but standards-based instruction. I'm very, very hopeful. These are our goals. They are the same as they are with all schools in the district, and I think we're making a little bit of headway. Our ongoing professional development has to do with teacher efficacy, strategies, what we're doing, and based on the research of Marzano, Tomlinson, In classroom management, we use Fred Jones, who is a disciple of Harry Wong, procedures and rules, and what we do to make sure that our systems are in order. In addition, we've just had some administrative training that was fantastic. The old company, Edgenuity, is now TeachScape, and we had 2 days of working with the TeachScape people, examining our data, but more importantly, examining our practices, preparing to go into the classroom to look at our systems, to look at what we're doing well, what we need to do better, and to aggregate the data that we get from each individual classroom, courtesy of the new netbooks that all principals have, and then making decisions about instruction and where we need to go. It's very promising. We have just started it. I'm looking forward to the full implementation of TeachScape. Cameron's teachers are prepared for it, and we're ready to go forward. And again, we started academic interventions in October, folks. School-wide action plan, which is, of course, professional development, is that we'll continue to analyze student data, continue to look for student strengths and weaknesses in order to address and modify instruction, always looking for specific strategies to make the connection and really set the hook and to target academic intervention. You know, you hear a lot of dialogue about differentiation. Folks, differentiation is the easiest thing in the world to say, and that is you meet the kid where they are. You go eyeball to eyeball, because the reality is that students all learn differently, and differentiation is about a modification of our philosophy with teaching and learning, as a side note, which is probably the most important thing, differentiation cannot be done whole group. Differentiation has to be done small group and individualized to be meaningful. Differentiation should be everything that we do all day long. And that's just a feeling that I have about it. I feel kind of strongly about it. Differentiation is also SDC through GATE. And you know that in order to have a meaningful GATE program and a meaningful differentiation program, you got to meet the child where they are with the strengths that they have. It is a focus on the strengths that a child has, not on any type of deficit model or deficiency that they may have. It's working on strengths, building success, creating an impactful, safe learning environment, and then modifying instruction to allow students do what they do best, and that is learn when it's presented to them correctly. Students with disabilities, I am delighted to be able to tell you that they gained 108 points. I don't know what next year is going to show. I think we made a significant gain for a number of reasons, and I think we can sustain that gain. I'm not sure we can do 108 points, but with System 44 and Read 180, which I have previously used in my other district for an EL intervention, it was very, very effective. It hits students who need stimulation in all three areas of the brain, the different learning modalities. It's visual, auditory, kinesthetic, tactile. It's interactive. It's total physical response, the things that kids need in order to make the engagement and the learning connection that so many kids aren't making. Of course, the California academic standards, you know, you can read it and you can understand it. Picking out individual learning objectives from California academic standards, designing a lesson plan, delivering that lesson, and modifying the instruction as necessary, and then assessing what the students had learned is very, very difficult. It can only be done collaboratively, and we meet collaboratively a lot, and we're also doing a vertical articulation collaborations to allow teachers from K through 5 to get together and say, this is what we've done, this is what comes next, or this is what has come before that. I think it's really, really effective, including something that I have up here under benchmark analysis. We're analyzing all the time. Something that's really important that we don't do an awful lot of, but we are beginning to do more, is something called miscue analysis, looking for patterns of wrong answers and responses to the kids. And when you look at patterns of wrong answers, you can come up with remarkable information, and you can modify instruction based on that. What are they not getting, and why are they not getting it? Is it because I wasn't teaching it the right way? Is it because I had too many learning objectives within a lesson? It allows us to modify and make informed decisions about what we need to do. EL is the population and their achievement is problematic. We have 79 EL students at Cameron this year. We had 54 last year. 79 this year. We have redesignated 10, which is a little disappointing, but we're working on that. We have started a program of ELD intervention. We started in October where we identify the 54 neediest kids for intense instruction in standards and foundational concepts which they are lacking in as analyzed through their benchmark data. We've had three sessions already, three sessions of 15 kids. We have one more session starting in a couple weeks, and we're handpicking the students for this session based on what we think will get the most impact from and who will benefit the most, in addition to the Saturday school that will begin on April the 4th, as we did last year, the four Saturdays prior to the CSDs, that we have four-hour sessions using supplemental, measuring up to the California content standards, which is, I think, pretty good stuff. We are continuing the training and implementation of software. That TeachCape will be one of them that we'll be working very closely with, but we also have, as we've said before, Accelerated Reader, Gigi, Orchard, Waterford, and the other, is that a sign?
No.
The other programs that we have, and I believe, have been very, very beneficial.
Yeah, he hit it.
Differentiation, Tomlinson, Marzano, Edgenuity, and TeachCape, the basis of TeachCape, are Tomlinson and Marzano strategies. Marzano, the 9 instructional strategies that are most effective, research-based, data-driven. Tomlinson, the guru of differentiation, content, process, product, and learning environment. And that looks many different ways when you go into a classroom. It looks, most importantly, in small group or individualized, as I previously said, and where there are multiple different ways of delivering the content, multiple things that they can do in order to gain the content, multiple ways to demonstrate knowledge of the content and to come up with the product in a safe environment where they're not designated. In reading, there were always groups. There were the bluebirds, there were the cardinals, and then there were the buzzards. And the buzzards are gone. It is all bluebirds and cardinals right now. And every kid has an opportunity to be successful according to their strength at grade level standards. And that's critical. It can't be a fifth grade kid being taught third grade concepts. They have to be grade level concepts. And of course, multiple checkings for understanding, a la DataWorks, TAPL, and all the other different things that we use in the classroom to make sure that we are making the connection. And to recap TeachScape a little bit, what we learned was CWTs, classroom walkthroughs, what to look for in the 5 domains of the classroom, and that is, briefly, focus on curriculum, instruction, the learner, classroom environment, and then the individual needs of all learners. All of our professional development is now driven by TeachScape, the concepts of TeachScape, and everything that we are in the process of implementing. And this is a picture of our staff taken yesterday.
Thank you very much for that presentation, and congratulations on the fine work at Cameron. Cami?
You were talking about the Tomlinson and the strategies for the modified instruction for greater engagement. If I walked into your classrooms now, would I see more small group work than I would have last the year before?
Absolutely. What you'll see initially is a whole group instruction for the teacher to break out the learning objective, academic vocabulary, all the things that need to be set up, and then a break into collaborative grouping on a number of different ways, too, heterogeneous, homogeneous, various other ways, strength of the student modalities, and then broken up into certain groups, working on the same standard, but perhaps in a different way. For instance, a history lesson where you're being taught about the Civil War and you're reading 3 different levels of books. And then you are presenting by maybe doing a graphical presentation, a picture, a reader's theater type presentation, a verbal presentation, people that like to talk and get up and to demonstrate what they've learned in that way. The end result being that each product comes together and gives a more complete picture. And every kid has been individualized in terms of what their instruction has been and fully participated.
Wonderful. You were talking about the 40 computers in your lab.
Yes.
Does that mean you do not have any computers in the classrooms themselves?
It most certainly does not. But I have many more computers in the lab than I do the classrooms. I do have some teachers who have been very thrifty, a second grade teacher, and have been able to acquire all types of hardware in their room. She's not going to have to do that any longer, because with our Title I ARRA funds, we're getting 20 computers for the K-2 classes. We're going to augment that with our own Title I funds for four more to make sure there are two brand-new computers in every K-2 classroom next year when we go to the roadshow. And Mrs. Castillo is as generous as she's always been. We're looking for three computers in my fourth and fifth grade. So we will hit the ground running, hopefully, with the latest software, new computers, every classroom, which then continues what we've already started 2 years ago in our computer lab, which is lower grades are in the computer lab twice a week, upper grades three times a week. Now it's an ongoing situation where there will be centers involving technology to supplement the core curriculum, to supplement the other activities of the classroom. I'm really excited about it.
Do parents have access to those computers?
Oh, yes, they do. We actually have, my ISS is just phenomenal, Lori Wilds, and we've had parent workshops every single month covering a variety of subjects, including technology. We have one coming up in a week, and 10 days, and that will be on data and preparing for the STAR. And then we have several others, classroom management, help with homework, help with the curriculum. You know, I know I'm taking a lot of time, but we have a social phenomenon going on right now, and that is that the parents that I have, that we all have at our schools, are the parents who were in school when the Public School Accountability Act was sold to us. I mean, was passed, and that was 1999. And standards-based instruction, high-stakes accountability, these are the parents that were in school when that whole thing started. Now they have children, and so they have a certain amount of sophistication with what's going on with the testing process, with standards, and they have a lot of misconceptions because we have evolved in public education over the last 10 years. And so what we're doing in our parent workshops is meeting those misconceptions, the assumptions that they're making about it, and saying, high-stakes testing and this accountability thing, we don't have to be afraid of. We have to. It's embedded. We're doing it every day, and it's nothing to be afraid of. We are testing in a non-threatening manner to the extent that we can, and that our population is working with us on that. But every single day, they're becoming more familiar with what we're doing, the processes that have already been implemented, and the fact that, okay, we have to assess so that we can better inform instruction for your child. So, you know what? I forgot what your original question was. I spoke
you
so much.
You answered it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ellie?
Congratulations on your significant
Thank you.
Gains. That's amazing. My only question was, given the analysis that you have, your benchmarks and all your analysis of the work thus far, how are you meeting your goals? How are the students doing? Do you think that you're going to get impressive gains again?
I'm counting on it. But if you've seen my benchmark data, you know, we need to look at it. We need to look at it hard. We at Cameron are shocked at the benchmark data, to be honest with you. And there's another little feature that we've added this year, and that is a CST predictor, which is a formula for taking last year's CSTs, taking this year's benchmarks, and coming out with an algorithm or a program to predict how they're going to do on the CSTs. I hope that they're completely wrong, because and district-wide, I'm looking at that, and it's difficult right now to analyze that effectively because it doesn't look good. It furthers the cause of urgency. The only thing I can say as a little background information after being at Cameron for 3 years is that we're real concerned at the end point, where we get and how we do at the end. We have been sometimes not as effective as we've needed to be in terms of pacing, in terms of really focusing on specific standards and understanding the weight, the relative weight that standards have. And so our benchmarks have been kind of all over the place, as they are now. We, at our last staff development, a week ago, last Wednesday, it was the topic of discussion. Folks, these are the data. We broke into grade levels, and we're trying to analyze these data to think, okay, what have we done and not done? What do we need to focus on now? And I think ultimately it will make us better. It'll make us stronger. But it's very sobering when you look at the data and you think, My perception when I go into the classroom is that things are going better than the data show. And I use a number of indicators, not the least of which is student engagement, student response, student work that I see, teacher enthusiasm, and teacher dedication to meeting the needs of the kids on a moment-by-moment basis. And not that we have a handle on perfection here, but we're doing a lot of things really well. And I hope that we're struggling with benchmarks right now, but as we continue to work on that, I hope to become much more effective on how we're meeting the needs on the benchmarks that accurately reflect how they're going to do at the end of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a 5-minute break, 6-minute break.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.